Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. I got another testimonial in this week from another happy client, once again beating the drum of traditional therapy is good, but reality guidance takes it to a different level. So I'm very proud and grateful for that. I asked a few weeks ago for new topics and questions, and someone suggested friendship, which is a big one. Now, I have to preface this with a bit of a disclaimer. In pretty much all of my past episodes, I've been quite universalist with my thoughts, meaning I spoke from a position of, this is the way the world works, this is the reality that drives my reality guidance. When it comes to friendship, it's much more a matter of taste. All I can really say is what I view the ideals of friendship to be. Some of it will run counter to what many people think of, and I'm not prepared to say they're necessarily wrong. All I can really do is explain how and why I arrived at my stance on it, and you can see if you agree with my reasoning. Now, the first thing we have to do is define the word friend, and already it's going to branch off in many different directions. There are close friends, casual acquaintances, friendly working relationships, and even potential romantic interests. All of those categories come with their own attributes, their own expectations, their own pros and cons. I'll touch on all of them, but the two that I think are most important to understand are close friends and potential love interests. And between the two of those, the close friend is the one by which I think all the others compare. So what is a close friend? Ideally, this is someone who fulfills a number of criteria. First, it should be someone who reflects the principles that you yourself try to embody. Secondly, there should be a level of honesty present that it becomes the default, really. In other words, talking to your friend should feel like having the same conversations you would have in your own head, without filters or without fear. Next, I'm not sure it's a requirement necessarily, but it sure helps, and it kind of works out this way anyway, that you share a few hobbies or interests. Now, at this point, it can go one of two directions. Someone could check those three boxes and be an awful presence in your life, like maybe you share principles and total honesty, but you spend most of your time together getting drunk and skipping class or work. Yeah, you share that hobby, but if you're breaking your own principles around them, and presumably they're breaking theirs as well, then that friendship is actually a spiral of self-destruction. So while you can have a close friend with only those previous criteria, I would say that the unofficial fourth one should also be that they act as an inspiration of sorts to you. Not that they need to be some sort of super successful person, but rather that they actively reinforce the kind of ideal you want to achieve, and they don't drag you down by reinforcing the things you don't want to be, like lazy, apathetic, self-destructive, etc. Now, the next big question is, what is the responsibility of a friend? And this ties into that complete honesty I mentioned before. Aside from simply caring about them and helping them out when they need it, I view it as almost a duty of a close friend to be, for lack of a better term, a reality check. This is extremely important for a number of reasons. It's nearly impossible to objectively view everything about yourself at all times. Everyone has blind spots in their decision-making, in their worldview, in their temperament, or whatever else. So an outside party is all but essential for keeping you honest and keeping your perspective accurate. The reason a close friend is necessary to fill that role of reality checker is because it often involves telling someone a hard truth that they won't want to hear. It's not a pleasant job, which is why people that don't care about you as much won't bother doing it. It's much easier to be a yes man or smile and nod when someone you're only mildly acquainted with explains their get-rich-quick scheme or brags about their obviously codependent relationship. It falls to the true friends to sit that person down and say, no, you've got it all wrong. Now, some might hear that and think, you know, I thought a true friend was there to support you through thick and thin. That's often led to mean that no matter how a friend lives their life, you must support all of it. I find this view to be hollow and actually counterproductive. Do you support your friend's decision to sink deeper into drug addiction? Do you stay with an abusive husband? Most would say no, but where do you draw that line? It comes down to defining the word support. Many people, especially women, usually mean emotional support. That is, trying to make sure that all quote-unquote negative feelings are minimized and all positive feelings are maximized. This is like chasing after an arsonist with a bucket of water, trying to put out fires as he sets them. you aren't actually doing any good, and in some cases, your support may embolden your friend to continue doing self-destructive things because they aren't being told by anyone that they are acting irrationally. In the end, it's up to the friend to help with fostering good decision-making, not keeping someone happy. True happiness doesn't come from your friends taking you out clubbing to distract you from the fact that you were just fired from your job. It comes from your friends helping you figure out why you were fired, pointing out places where you might have brought it on yourself, and helping to find your next job with a new lesson learned. Now, the other kind of intense friendship I mentioned is the potential love interest. This one gets really tricky. But again, the all-important factor here is honesty. Now, often it goes like this. Guy meets girl, he's immediately attracted to her, but she doesn't view him like that. He then thinks, well, if she gets to know me better, she'll learn to be attracted to me, and he starts becoming as close of a friend to her as she'll allow. This is commonly known as the friend zone. It can sometimes work going the other direction, but it's usually a guy trying to cozy up to a woman. This is not only an unenviable position to be in, it's also deceitful in both directions. While the guy obviously enjoys the woman's company, he's usually acting like it doesn't bother him that she is in this constant state of rejection with him. He is at once both disrespecting her for not abiding by her wishes that the relationship remain platonic, and he's disrespecting himself by not having the self-esteem to say, okay, she doesn't want me, there'll be others who will. It's a relationship where the guy is essentially acting like an emotional vulture, waiting for the woman to give in, give up, or otherwise be worn down by sheer persistence. On the other hand, if the woman is complicit in this kind of relationship, she also shares in the blame. There are often a few reasons for her to go along with this. For instance, she may just like the attention and the knowledge that she has the power to attract men, thus making her feel good about herself. Or she may actually be slightly attracted to him, but she thinks she can do better. So for a period of time, she's going to go after, you know, manlier men, and if she fails in that, well, she's always got this guy in reserve to fall back on. Really, no matter how you slice it, she's manipulating this guy for her own purposes, when really she should just say, look, it's better for both of us if you just moved along. Of course, both sides will usually deny what's going on. The man won't admit that he's hovering like a vulture, and the woman won't admit that she's using him for attention or as a backup. Because both of them know that if they admitted this, it would say something awful about them. And therein lies the crux of the issue, and why it's a horrible basis for a friendship. Now, I'm not going to say that there's a right way to make and have friends, but I will say that as you add more and more people into the mix, if you aren't discerning, you'll end up surrounded by people that you don't like very much. This notion that some people have that the more friends you have, the better of a person you are, is nonsense. All that means is that your judgment is faulty, because it's doubtful that 50 people can be that close to you or you to them. There's only so much time in the day, and if you're friends with everyone, that's the same as being friends with no one. However, when it comes to networking, the equation changes. Now, I'm far from an expert in this field, as I lived most of my life uninterested in maintaining professional contacts and such. To me, I either wanted close friends or nothing at all. I'm still fighting that tendency, but I've learned in the past year just how important a professional network is, as I'm now having to build one up from scratch. Far be it from me to explain how to network like a pro, but I will say this, do not underestimate it like I did. From the moment you become an adult, and maybe even a little before that, make sure you keep as many bridges unburned as possible. You don't have to be close friends with someone in order to leave a good impression with them, and that good impression can only serve you well when looking for a new job or starting a new business. Capitalism thrives when everyone is thinking of win-win scenarios, and you want to be one of the first people that others want to partner with in order to win. Finally, I'll say this. There is a point where friendship should and must end. Self-destruction often comes with external destruction as well. Friends, and especially family, are given special access to you, and that comes with a responsibility. If they abuse your trust enough times, and beyond any reasonable doubt, you need to consider cutting them out. After all, calling someone your friend is putting your stamp of approval on somebody. It's you saying to the world, I respect and admire this person above most others. So if you give that stamp of approval to someone who clearly doesn't deserve it, two things become apparent. Number one, you must not value yourself very highly if the bar for your admiration is so low. And number two, that doesn't speak very highly of the other people you call a friend. It's like an award. The moment a prestigious award goes to someone who is clearly undeserving, then that award loses all credibility. If, for example, the Nobel Peace Prize or the Oscar goes to someone for political or crony reasons, then it throws into doubt every other recipient, both past and future. Similarly, if you give an abusive or a lying or an unstable person your award for being called your friend, then what does it really mean when you call other people friend as well? At best, you're being a haphazard judge of character, and your friendship means almost nothing. At worst, you're using a corrupt set of principles to arrive at friendship. So choose your friends wisely and constantly check to make sure that people are always earning it. Just because someone earned your friendship 10 years ago doesn't necessarily mean they still earn it today. Put another way, no one should ever get friendship tenure. Alright, so that's my broad overview of friendship. Some of that flies in the face of the usual platitudes we're used to hearing, like friends are forever and friends never judge. I'd be happy to hear your thoughts on it, you know, agree or disagree. And with that, thanks for listening and have a great weekend.